Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Tuesday, October 26, 2021. The Sudanese ambassador to the United States has denounced the military takeover in his country.
I reject the military coup that was perpetrated on October 25th.
And the Sudanese military leader, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, says former Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok is safe. We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Sudanese ambassador to the United States, Nuruddin Al-Sati, is rejecting Monday's military takeover against Sudan's civilian-led transitional government. Ambassador Sati says he will continue to serve as Sudan's ambassador to the United States and work to reverse the military takeover that removed Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok. Ambassador Sati tells Nabil Biagio he has joined other Sudanese diplomats in the United States and other countries to mount pressure on Sudan's military leaders to release Hamdok and restore civilian-led government.
I reject the military coup that was perpetrated on October 25th, I shall be working with my colleagues in the diplomatic service and with the diaspora around in the United States and around the world to see to it this coup is not accepted and that the coup's intentions and results be reversed as soon as possible.
Since the coup on Monday, have you received any instructions from Sudan whether you should continue serving as Sudan ambassador to the U.S. or whether you have been relieved from your duties?
No, nothing. I have not received anything so far.
The government that appointed you has been toppled, the government of Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok, and he's detained, he's imprisoned. This puts you in a weird and awkward position, does it not? What is your next move?
Well, my next move is to continue serving as ambassador of the Sudanese people and the ambassador of Sudan, the country, as long as it takes. I shall remain in position to defend the principle of the government that has been toppled illegally by the military. And I consider myself as being the ambassador of a country, not ambassador of a regime. And the principles of the cabinet and the prime minister who has appointed me continue to be upheld and supported by the Sudanese people and the international community.
If General Burhan decides to fire you and appoint a new diplomatic mission, let's say in the U.S., will you defy the order and refuse to abandon your post?
I will, cross that bridge when I come to it. I cannot foretell what will be my reaction. It depends on the conditions that will prevail from now until that decision. And things are going to be much more complicated than that. In order for him to appoint a new diplomatic mission will be also an issue. And we know what happened in the past. When the Bashir's coup took place in Sudan, what happened? I'm the first ambassador, after 27 years. So I don't see, it's not going to be easy for this regime and this body to appoint a new ambassador to the United States.
You're saying it's an issue of legitimacy?
Of course. Yeah.
So you're saying they have power, but they don't have legitimacy. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
You mentioned in your statement released this past hour that you have joined other diplomats here in New York, but also in other capitals, Paris, Brussels, to resist what is happening in Sudan. What are you doing exactly? Have you talked to U.S. officials?
I am talking regularly to U.S. officials. Today I spoke to staffers from Senate and officers from the State Department, and I Yesterday, I spoke to Assistant Secretary for African Affairs at the State Department. I continue to engage, the U.S. administration and Congress and to explain the position. And I have to say that there is an overwhelming support to my position and that of my colleagues who have taken the same position. And we shall continue. I engage, of course, with the diaspora, and I had a meeting with the representatives of the diaspora in the United States yesterday, which was a very good meeting, and we agreed to work together. And I believe that my colleagues also in other embassies, like the one in Brussels, in Paris, in Geneva, in Beijing, in South Africa, and in New York, are doing the same thing.
So when you meet with U.S. officials, you say you've been meeting with them. What are you exactly telling them that they should do to help the situation in Sudan, to reverse the coup and restore the government of Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok? What are you asking them to do?
I am asking them to put pressure on the coup perpetrators in order to reverse the action that they have taken and to take the country back to where it was 48 hours ago, and to accept to engage wholeheartedly with the civilian component in order to take the country out of this crisis. A military coup has never resolved problems. It is only adding to our problems and complicating issues, things for us. So that's the message that I'm passing here at the United States, to put pressure on the coup plotters in order to change what they have done, to accept the will of the people and to go back to free the Prime Minister Hamdok and the ministers who are illegally detained and allow them to continue doing their job in coordination with the military. We have nothing against the military, but our problem is certain people in the military who do not want this revolution to move forward.
That was Nuruddin Sati, Sudan's ambassador to the United States, speaking with my colleague Nabil Biagio this past hour in Washington. Still on Sudan, the Sudanese military leader Abdel Fattah al-Burhan told reporters in the Sudanese capital Khartoum Tuesday the former Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok is safe at the military headquarters in Khartoum. Al-Burhan says military authorities will release Hamdok, quote, if his security is guaranteed. South Sudan in Focus reporter Michael Atit, who has been monitoring the situation in Khartoum since the military takeover, says all roads leading to the capital has been blocked by protesters who are demanding a return to a civilian rule.
People could not go downtown because most of the roads are blocked. There is still a heavy deployment of the security forces around the government installations and around the junctions and all. Some shops are open, some few movements are there. People are trying to access local markets to get some food and other stuff for their survival. So as we speak,
what about the reports we are hearing that around 7 people were killed? What are you hearing from health authorities in Khartoum?
It has been confirmed from the Sudanese Doctors Association, which are actually part of the Sudanese Professional Association. They have confirmed 7 people have been killed, and more than 100 people got injured in yesterday's, in different parts of the gatherings and the protests. I have no much details about which location exactly were these people shot and killed and by whom, but this is the information we got this morning from the Sudanese doctors.
General Al-Burhan had a press conference this afternoon, your time, in Khartoum. What did he say in the press conference?
Al-Burhan, who appeared in his military uniform, he was trying to justify the act that has been taken by the military, to try to justify the reason why he dissolved the cabinet, he dissolved the sovereign council. So he tried to explain that the political forces that were in the partnership with the military were not united. He said the country for the last 2 years has been running without proper judicial system in place. There is no judicial council, there is no constitutional court, there is no prosecution council, no legislative council, and this executive body are unable to move an inch in order to appoint this judicial system so that justice is realized in during this transitional period. So he tried to say these political forces were actually divided into the extent that some of them were instigating violence and some of them were even instigating tribes against tribes. So it was almost coming to a sort kind of creating a civil war again, according to him. So he said this is a sole responsibility of the Sudanese army by law, that to make sure the security and the safety of the Sudan, to defend the people of Sudan in any threat. Whoever is causing this threat, whether it is an internal threat or external. So he took this decision in order to correct the path of the Sudan transitional government.
There is international condemnation of the military takeover in Khartoum. And world leaders like the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has been calling on the Sudanese leaders to release Prime Minister Abdallah Hamdok. Did Burhan tell journalists where Abdallah Hamdok is?
Yes, he actually told the press that Hamdok is with him at home. So he is hosting Hamdok in his house for safety. And he even told journalists that whoever wants to talk to Hamdok, they can go and visit Hamdok and talk to him. So he is well, he's healthy, he's unharmed. And he said within 2 or 3 days, if he feels that the security situation is good, then he will allow Hamdok to go back to his house. So he confirmed that Hamdok is well. Hamdok is with him at home in the military headquarters.
What else did he say? The Sudanese are still on the streets. What did he say about the protesters? Is there any warning? Is there any call for people to go back home? What did he say?
There was a question about the state of emergency. So he was trying to justify that this state of emergency is not meant to crack down on people. It's not meant to detain people. But he as well warn against any group or individual trying to, you know, to cause sort of havoc or to cause sort of violence that can, you know, threaten the national security, according to his word. So he also warned any group that is trying to do so, that people are free to assemble, people are free to do whatever protest they want to do, but they should make sure they don't compromise, they don't cause any havoc, they don't cause any traffic, they don't even any move that will even, you know, compromise the normal activities of the people. So he tried in this press conference to basically give a reason why he has taken the yesterday's step and why he dissolved the cabinet, he dissolved the transitional cabinet. So he promised that within the coming days, he's going to form a new government.
What about reaction from other political parties in Sudan? Any reaction?
There has been a mixed reaction from different political parties in Sudan. I spoke with Mubarak Al-Fadil, who is the leader of Umma Party, reform faction. He actually told me that this step that is taken by Al-Burhan would have been taken by Hamdok by dissolving this government to appoint new technocrats in place so that the transitional government is able to go and allow the political leaders to go and prepare themselves for a national election. But since Hamdok is delayed in taking this action, that is what led Al-Burhan to take it over and, you know, dissolve everything. Mariam Al-Sadiq, the former Minister of Foreign Affairs, she also condemned this act and said, as the Umma Party, they are not going to support any, they condemned this act, and they are not going to support any military takeover again in Sudan. I spoke also with a member of the Sudanese Congress Party, who are actually member of the Forces for Freedom Coalition, headed by Omar Adige, who is actually one of the detained head of the political party currently. A member told me that this is a clear coup, and they condemn it, and they will definitely ask the people, the supporters on the street, to continue demonstrating, to continue with uprising until this military government is able to surrender and give back the power to the civilians.
That's Michael Atit, South Sudan in Focus reporter in Sudan. He spoke with me this past hour from the capital, Khartoum. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, doctors in Jonglei State threaten to walk away from their jobs if the incentives are not paid. In our Tuesday Health segment, we look at the welfare of health workers during the COVID-19 pandemic. Health workers in Bor are threatening to go on strike over unpaid incentives and poor working conditions. The doctors say they plan to walk off the job and look for greener pasture because the government has not been paying them their incentives on time. Jonglei State Health Minister promises the government will soon address the grievances of the medical workers. For VOA News, Dengai Deng has the story from Bor.
Dr. Gom Jungayom, who chairs a committee representing the medical staff at Bor State Hospital, says health workers have gone for more than 2 months without incentives. Dr. Ayom says she and other medical staff will walk off the job if the government does not address their grievances within the next 48 hours.
We are suffering and we need our, even here in the hospital, we don't have essential drugs. And yes, we are writing papers to patients to go outside and buy drugs. Some patients, they don't have, they cannot afford money. Yeah. Okay, after 22 hours, if there's no response, we stop working. Just remain now 48 hours.
Dr. Ayom says it is difficult for medical personnel to treat patients in the emergency room without life-saving drugs, which they ran out of 3 months ago. She says patients have been dying due to a lack of medicine at the facility. Nurse John Anyin Malak says the medical staff has persevered despite the situation, hoping their incentives would be paid, but are now feeling frustrated.
Up to this juncture, there's no single paracetamol in the hospital. People are just depending on the market. That is the difficult situation we are in. When there's an emergency, you just struggle to make sure that the relative of the patients reach to the nearby clinic to bring an emergency drug which is needed. Otherwise, we have no any drugs to help the patient in emergency situation.
Deng Nial works with Medico del Mundo, an NGO that has been paying incentives for medical staff at Bor State Hospital. Nial declined to comment and referred South Sudan in Focus to the State Ministry of Health. Jonglei State Health Minister Atong Kwal Manyang says she is aware of the doctor's ultimatum and apologized for the delay in paying the incentives, but urged the hospital's medical staff to continue working and saving lives, saying the government will soon address their grievances.
The incentive were not paid on time because UNICEF, which is the donor, was still planning to give the money to the incoming partners, because the contract with the Medico del Mundo had expired. Now, the ministry has met UNICEF and it's been agreed that the incentive will be given to MDM, which is the outgoing partner, to pay them.
Minister Manyang urges the Bor Hospital medical staff to be patient, saying the ministry will work out their grievances.
We know they are right. This is their right because it is their incentive. It is their incentive and they deserve to be paid that. Looking at the type of work they do, saving people's lives, among other things that they do within the facility. So we know that they work hard, we rely on them, for health of our community. And we know the important role that they play within the health sector. However, what I wanted to say is that I asked them to go back to work and to tell them that the government is working on this with our partners, and they have to also give us time because the money is there.
Incentives for staff at Boris State Hospital range from $100 to $600. A medical doctor receives $600. A clinical officer gets $400, while nurses and midwives receive $300. 2 weeks ago, doctors, clinical officers, nurses, midwives, and lab technicians went on a strike at Juba Teaching Hospital, South Sudan's only national referral hospital. Many patients were left unattended. Health workers demanded unpaid COVID-19 risk incentives, accommodations, and food allowances. The South Sudan Doctors Union says compared to other medical professionals in the region, health workers in South Sudan are vastly underpaid and receive no benefits. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaiding in Bor.
From Bor, we move back to Sudan, where the Unionist Alliance, a founding member of Sudan's civilian-led transitional government headed by former Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok, has condemned Monday's military takeover in Sudan. Musa Morawi, a member of the Union's Alliance, says all partners of Sudan, including the United States, should condemn the military takeover in his country.
We are watching with grave concern the unfolding situation in the country. And we're hoping that this difficult moment will pass and this will be the end of military rule in Sudan. It doesn't look like it right now, but the people and everyone and our friends from around the world whose support we appreciate and ask for are all in one page, and that page is there is no other option for Sudan but to be ruled by a civilian government and to transition to democracy.
Now, what role did your group play in the formation of the transitional government that has now been overthrown?
We played a major role. We are a founding member of the Alliance for Freedom and Change. We were part of the peace agreement that brought together the military and the civilian partners. And we have ministers and other officials in the civilian government of Prime Minister Hamdok.
Now, you mentioned General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan. He says that the military was taken over to what he called rectify the revolution's cause. What do you think about that statement?
I think nothing can be further from the truth. This is a gimmick. They have been planning this. They have never really been serious about the roles they were supposed to do in the last 2 years, which is to reform the military and to unite the military and the security forces. And they were only half-heartedly in there. And now it is clear now that a moment has come, which is the time in which, according to the partnership agreement, rule is supposed to be changed from the military partner leadership to the civilian partner leadership. And of course, they did not want to take that seriously or accept it. And that is why they launched this coup. It's a coup. It is a 100% coup. It has been rejected by the people and their democratic representatives.
What do you think, the international community can do in this instance? Say the African Union, the United States, European Union, what can they do? What do you want them to do?
I think the African Union should suspend Sudan membership, and so is all other international bodies. I think unless these coup people give the government back to Prime Minister Hamdok and go back to the agreement to transition the country to civilian rule, I think they should not be recognized and they should certainly be punished for this act they have just did.
That's Musa Morawi, a member of the Unionist Alliance. He was speaking with my colleague James Batty from Fairfax, Virginia, outside Washington, D.C. And Sudanese who reside in South Sudan's Lake State are condemning the military takeover in Sudan. The Sudanese say Prime Minister Abdalla Hamdok, who is being detained in Khartoum, should be given time to restore peace and stability in the country during the transitional period. William Sande Mabor has details for VOA from Rumbek.
Osman Abdul Rahim, a Sudanese trader in Lagos State, urged military leaders in Sudan to release Hamdok and other top government officials who were arrested yesterday.
This is an organized coup by the military head of Sudan ruling a sovereign council with his soldiers. This is not good at all. Abdel Fattah has violated the peace agreement. We request for the release of detained ministers together with their leader, Abdullah Hamdok, as soon as possible.
Abdul Rahim is calling on Sudan's top military commander and head of state, Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, to step down and hand over power to civilians. He says since Sudan gained independence in 1956, several successive military regimes have done little to improve the lives of ordinary people, and now civilians should be given a chance to lead the country. Adam Sadala, another Sudanese trader in Rumbek, says instead of resorting to military takeover, the parties in Sudan's government should have used peaceful means to resolve their differences.
I'm not happy with the coup in Sudan, even if there is a disagreement between political parties. A coup is not a solution, and I urge the parties to resolve their differences and hand over power peacefully. We are tired of coups in our country.
And Sadala says he worries the apparent coup will negatively affect the country's economy. Rumbek Sudanese trader Mohamed Musa also condemned the military takeover and is urging the parties to ensure the peaceful transfer of power from the military to civilians.
Staging a coup is not the solution to political problems in Sudan, but we need our leader to adopt peaceful means of transferring power to people. It should not always be through the barrel of guns. Let us learn to dialogue among ourselves.
Musa called on Sudanese protesters across the country to remain peaceful and to not destroy private and public structures. Sudanese trader Mohamed Ishak says the role of Sudan's military should be to provide security to the country's citizens and leaders. He says the military takeover will destabilize the country and cause more suffering.
This coup will give people hard time in Sudan, especially the civilians will suffer mostly because they are always the victims of political violence.
Ishak urges the international community to intervene and ensure that the detained leaders are released. For VOA News, I am William Sande Mabor in Rumbek, Lagos State.
That's all we prepared for you this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song Shane Was Shane by a Sudanese artist.
أخضر وخشن يسموه سوافي تسأل شن الحب فيه
والحب في ذاته مبرر كافي ما شين ودشن حسيا في شين شين ودشن كلمة ما.
We've been listening to a Sudanese artist with the song Shane Was Shane. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for allowing us into your homes, vehicles, and phones. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you are in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Chair of the ship, the Matma Fish. Chair of the ship, I say, I'm fishing. شعب الحر الفعل السر أملاح من